It's Wednesday, October 10th, 2012. I'm Alex Jones. Get ready for an amazing edition of InfoWars Nightly News. Straight ahead.
Tonight, the Travel Channel celebrates the police state with a new TSA reality show. Then, a new Swiss study reveals the super entities that run the world. Plus, caught on tape, a street brawl in Obamaville. That's up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
If you think the TSA can't get any lower, more abusive, more barbarous, more ham-fisted, think again. They are the shock troops, just like the brown shirts were the shock troops for Hitler to break the will of the American people. Sure, they're close to minimum wage folks that have admitted that they steal up to $1 million a year apiece and rob people and grope women, but they're hired to break your will and to destroy the Fourth Amendment, the Tenth Amendment, you name it. They're hired to claim that they take you in a back room to stick their hands down your pants looking for Osama bin Laden. It's about training you that you are a slave. And the latest articles out today, this is being reported by mainstream television, KOMOTV, there in Seattle, Washington. Dying woman gets security pat down at SeaTac, and they removed her bandages. People will beg and say, that's a catheter into my body, and they'll just rip it out with blood dripping or a colostomy bag spraying feces everywhere. And again, they make sure and put it on the news to let you know, yes, you are scum. I've seen them try to make 90-plus-year-old people going to see their family for the last time, have passengers pick them up, and they can't walk, and they're crying, and the TSA's like, freeze, freeze, freeze. It's all an act of total domination by the bureaucratic class against their enemy, the American people. It is the communist, globalist, fascist, totalitarian, whatever you want to call it. It's all the same thing in the final equation, just different variants of domination. This is their psych warfare Skinnerian system of total control. Steve Watson continues, breaking it down. TSA sinks to new low, humiliates woman dying of cancer, screener strip surgery bandages in full public view, break open IV bag with pleasure. Hit her and hit her hard, break her will. Mission accomplished, it's Miller time. So that's what's going on. It's totally sick. I shouldn't laugh. But if that isn't bad enough, the TSA now goes to local cities in Texas. I saw one in New Mexico, and they go, sure, your local police aren't allowed to take girls at the junior high prom and grab their genitals. But if we certify them, they are, and federal judge orders, what was it, in Santa Fe? In fact, guys, they won't believe it. Pull that up. TSA searching people at prom in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And they said, well, you're here. You waved a magic wand. FBI can't do it. State police can't do it. Local police can't do it. But, hey, I've had an 8-hour training course as TSA. I can read minds. They actually say that. Oh, grope your daughter. It's like, power wand, power wand. Pull it up. Santa Fe, New Mexico. TSA at prom. You'll or judge rules. TSA must be at. Yeah, we'll pull the that report up for you. But as we're finding that article, because we're here, just go to Google, go to the NSA search engine, teleprompter free. Let's move to the next thing. Travel airport 24/7 Miami. Awesomer power, ladies and gentlemen. And who needs the English language when you've got awesomer power? They show in the photos on the site the grabbing of the breast, the grabbing of the genitals, the acts of submission. They're very, very proud of this on the Travel Channel. You know, get your proctology exam for free. We're going to put you in a radiation machine and scan and save your naked image. We're going to make fun of your genital sizes. They've admittedly done that. It's all fun. We're going to show you your naked body. Look at that person on a power trip just enjoying it. I mean, they hire the lowest bottom feeders, the brown shirts, to do this. But Darren McBreen took the trailer and slowed it down. And it's just full of subliminals that you couldn't pick up in real time when you play it. But if you pause it, It just, you know, oh, the TSA saves our military. Oh, they fight terrorists. The idea that at Miami they fought somebody. And there's the key. Oh, my gosh, this guy had some cash. What is this? What is that? You know, I couldn't be a toilet attendant in regular life, but now I'm going to stick my hands down your pants. And then they've got ladies going, freeze! Everybody stops in their dog training because it's even more awesomer power. And oh, they found a gun. Oh, guns are evil. They're keeping us safe from Al-Qaeda that the government publicly runs in Libya and Syria, and they have them attacking all these different countries. So absolutely, totally disgusting. And they did find it. They did find the article about they're at the prom now because Al-Qaeda, that the government runs publicly, they are there to attack. But and again, the TSA, if they come to your security group or police, they go, no more Fourth Amendment, no more Tenth Amendment. If we come and train you, well, then we can magically stick our hands down your pants. So it's even more awesomer. It's amazing, and it shows the TSA with all these other cops to act like they're real cops. They call themselves officers, and you know what they're battling and what they're doing and the bad guys they're catching. And this is all roundup, secret arrest, be pulled out of line, disappear into an army vehicle training. And the army admits in their manuals, yeah, we got re-education camps set up for your butts. What's wrong with that? I mean, what's wrong with New World Order? I mean, hey, the troops are going to keep you safe. So. There's the new show. Let me give you a little news flash, turds, government mercenaries, operatives for the globalists. No amount of propaganda and BS is going to sell your tyranny. You may have half the public on the government mammary gland sold out, taking Prozac, doesn't know what time of day it is. But you don't have us all, scum. And we are going to expose you and your bosses that stage 9/11 and the Al-Qaeda groups you run and the narcotics you ship into this country. I don't care how awesomer your power is. Okay, let's move on to our story from a month ago that's now in Salon, Huffington Post, Associated Press. Again, InfoWars and you, the supporters, forcing this out. We have the San Antonio family here in studio who are protesting. They got to wear satellite tracker RFID around their necks that track them at home and at school, and they have Department of Defense AI computers watching what they eat and what they do. And Huffington Post, Texas school district reportedly threatened students who refuse tracking IDs, can't vote for homecoming, can't go to the prom, can't go to events. Now, they are enemies because they weren't aware of the slave tracking grid that even tracks them at home. I mean, they think it's bad that government-issued laptops are watching them at home. I mean, they think 1984 is a dystopic novel and not a dream vacation manual. Where everybody would like to be transported. So we're going to get that family back in here. Evil family standing up for freedom. I mean, these are despicable people. Swiss study moving along now from the National ID tracker systems. Swiss study shows 147 technocratic super elites rule the world. That's their words. A mere 147 corporations, which are actually about 14, those are all interlocking, which form a super entity, have control of 40% of the world's wealth. And a Russian study says about 80. But they're the ones that want to shut down the middle class because those are the people that actually just want to buy their own phone and don't want the Obama phone that we're going to cover. And they have a map in that article, actually, a computerized map of the super elites and how this all breaks down. And by the way, you might want to know the super elites don't just want to own and run everything. They're obsessed with something called eugenics. And they're putting cancer viruses in your vaccines. But hey, I mean, the vaccines are free, like an Obama phone. So, I mean, it's gotta be good. Meanwhile, we're the elite themselves run to hide. They want the 200,000 plus army that hasn't been beefed since pre-World War II. The Swiss are preparing for race wars, total European collapse, new government study. Switzerland prepares for mass civil unrest in Europe, race wars, total collapse. They're gearing up, but again, we're extremists. You shouldn't be getting firearms or ammo, even though Homeland Security's bought $1.6 billion since last November, less than a year ago. And continuing along with the next piece of news, EU-funded group outlines draconian population control for the next 40 years. The EU must take strong measures to limit population growth. Yeah, because Europe has 1.2 to 1.3 children. Yeah, Italy, Italians have 1.2 kids for two parents, so they'll be extinct within two more generations, basically. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, you got 1.3, 1.2 kids for every two adults. I mean, that's a population explosion. I mean, you know, Russia's gone from 300 million down to, what is it, 190 million or something? I mean, that's horrible. The West is dying, as Pat Buchanan wrote. I'm going from memory on the Russian statistics. Give me the Russian population. I know it's imploded. But that's a population explosion. And Al Gore says polar bears can't swim and they're all dead, even though their numbers are up fivefold since 1955. But I'm one of those weirdos that's into facts. I mean, you know, I don't want to be down at the local bar. I'm not chasing after, you know, Sally Rottencrotch over here. I'm just actually trying to defend liberty, so I'm a bad guy. Oh, it's worse. Oh, I'm sorry. I'd said from 300 million or 270 million or whatever it was, 160 or 70. I'm sorry. It's 141 million. The operation's going well. There you go. Exploding Europe and Russia. Yes. So there you go. But again, I've got facts. I mean, that's a bad thing. I mean, why not just love Hugo Chavez? We're going to be breaking that down coming up in a moment. So there is that report. The EU must take strong measures to limit population growth, both in Europe, but most importantly in the rest of the world, in the face of increasing demand and time when technology innovation is stagnant. Oh, really? Because you're stagnating it on purpose? And global shortages exacerbated by monopolies of fossil fuels and agricultural land are pushing up prices in some European countries, life expectancy strategies, in others it falls. So there you go. Yeah, because you're killing people with different injections. Our demographics are dying as well. So there's the globalist model being carried out. Now, I'm going to get into public law saying the government can put cancer viruses in your vaccines and nerve gas St. Louis and kill your daddy. We covered that last night. We should trust the government, though, even though they have thousands of tests killing us on record. You shouldn't trust somebody that can talk like this teleprompter free, though. That's people say, man, you're scary, dude. You know all these facts. You talk and you're upset. I mean, I know I'm a throwback. I've got to admit it. Caveman, you know, I don't want to be a slave. I'll be honest about it. But anyways, let's go ahead now and go to this big breaking report by our own David Ortiz. He went out in Austin, Texas, where we're based, and talked to people about, well, the Obama phone. Is it good to take one group's money with a tax on their phone bill and then give phones to other people so they can get Obama messages sent to them? And we'll break down what they had to say. And then, amazing video of folks in Austin, including yuppies down on the river, but also in the poor East Austin, saying they believe that Obama gave them $200 to vote for him, and that if the government gives them free money, they're going to take it. Now, they believe that is a good thing, and they believe being jellyfish-like is powerful. You're going to see some amazing dehumanization here in a moment, but first, here is David Ortiz's report.
You got Obama phone?
Yes, everybody in Cleveland, low minority, got Obama phone. Keep Obama in president, you know? He gave us a phone.
He gave you a phone.
Do more.
As the Obama phone video continues to go viral, the video has prompted many Americans to criticize the welfare state and the pitiful results most welfare programs have produced. One such program is the Lifeline Benefit Program, which has received rave reviews from the Obama phone lady and other low-income residents.
I have about like six in my personnel. Each and every one of these phones work. At home, I know I have about 30, and all of them are on.
Do you think it's a good idea for the federal government to charge $3 on your cell bill to give people free cell phones?
I don't think so. I think a cell phone's not a necessity, so I don't think the government has this right to do that.
Not at all. That's completely garbage. I mean, I pay $100+ a month for my cell phone. I don't see why they're handing out free cell phones to other people.
No.
Why not?
I think it's a product. If people want to buy it and can afford to buy it, they should. But I don't think the government should be handing them out.
Handing somebody a cell phone is an opportunity to get a job. It's an opportunity to call back your employer. There is no more public phones. So you can't just ask them to shove them in the public phones. They've been reduced by 90% in this country. So I think there should be a program. But every American who has a cell phone to pay $3 without being asked, that's not American in my book.
So it should be optional. It
should be optional.
I don't think so. I think that's a controversial question, but I think basic human rights like food, shelter, healthcare should be given by the government, but not commodities like cell phones, no.
Yeah, you see, I do have an issue with people reducing really complicated issues down to quick sound bites, and that generally people that are receiving government benefits aren't like living the high life and living in comfort. So I don't really have a problem with following the edict of helping the people that need the most help.
I do. I think it's important to give a little to get a lot, and obviously we've all gotten a lot. I went to public school. I drive on the roads. I ride my bike in bike lanes. So I do believe in giving money so that other people can have something that I already have.
Generally speaking, I don't have a problem with providing poor people with cell phones, especially when those poor people are women with children, and without cell phones, they find themselves in danger. We don't have pay phones anymore, so people can't just like walk around the corner and use a phone. So a low cost, bare bones cell phone for safety only makes sense.
The FCC, which oversees this initiative, says phone ownership among this group has increased by an estimated 12% since the program began in the 1980s. According to the Cato Institute, since President Barack Obama took office, federal welfare assistance has increased by an estimated 41%. The organization also notes that over the past half century, both the federal government and local governments have spent an estimated $15 trillion trying to combat poverty. However, during this time, the poverty rate has only decreased by about 4%. Is that stealing?
I think it is, because it's not the citizens' rights. I mean, it's not the obligation of the citizens to pay for other people's cell phones.
It's stealing in a sense. I mean, not... in short, yes, it is.
What if it went to poor people?
I mean, I'm not the richest guy ever, either. I mean, I'm not poor, but I mean, I don't have a lot of money, and I spend some of my money on my cell phone, so why can't other people?
I don't think so.
Why not?
I think we all get a lot from the government. So I got roads, I got public school, etc. So I think public services are for the good of everybody.
Well, I don't know if it's stealing. I think it's probably excessive spending on the federal government's part.
I think, as far as $3 go, I don't think it's stealing from the American public. But I do think, I don't know, I guess you would have to, public should be informed, is what I'm saying. So you should have access to the information of where it's going. If you don't, then I don't know if I would want to label it stealing, but I would label it wrong.
Always fighting on behalf of liberty. For InfoWars Nightly News, I'm David Ortiz.
So there you have it. Different perspectives from Austinites on the Obama phone and dependency. And again, we got that big Chavez report coming up with our own Max Cabrera, who was just down in Venezuela. He's Venezuelan. Great IT guy. And evil pro-liberty person as well. I've got to admit that it's pretty shameful. He was just down there voting in Venezuela against Chavez, and of course failed. That's coming up in studio. But let's get to this next report here in Austin with Darren McBreen and Jakari Jackson. They went out and even caught a street fight going on. In fact, there's even more of this we haven't aired that isn't in this report. We're not really a boxing show or a UFC show. And then it's got some of the people in East Austin wanting all the freebies and goodies. And saying, hey, if the government gives me money, it's a good deal. And people that think they got $200 from Obama, they did get $200, but the message was, because you voted for him. So, hell, $200, take my soul. I mean, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Well, it would gain you an Obama phone. Here it is.
Would you rather get free money from the government or own your own business?
Wow, that's a loaded question.
I would just rather have free money.
And if it was from the government, that'd be okay?
If you win a lottery, you win the lottery. You don't ask why, right?
I wouldn't mind getting both, but I really would have rather have my own company.
Who do you want for president?
I want Obama, because Bush didn't know what he was doing.
Can you name one way that he's helped you out?
He gave me $200 when he turned to president.
You got $200 from Obama?
He gave everybody that had a disability $200 when he turned president. I remember that because I got $200.
You said he helped you out. Can you name one way that he helped you out?
Well, he helped us out by
getting the job.
Low incomes, better with low incomes, Medicaid, you know, Social Security, stuff like that. Man, he's a good president.
Well, no matter who's president, they're going to take our money and they're going to distribute it out the way that they see fit.
Are you for Obama or not?
I don't like either of them. Yeah.
Well, you better make a choice.
Would you vote for Obama because he's black?
No.
If someone didn't vote for him, do you think they would be a racist?
No.
Did you vote for him because he's black?
No, I vote for him because what he stands for, man. He stands for helping people out.
If someone were to not vote for Obama, do you think they would be racist?
Nah, I just think they're looking for something else. That's all.
Who you want for president?
Gary Johnson.
Okay. And are you tired of the lesser of two evils, I take it?
Well, the lesser of two evils is still evil.
I think what we should do is stop voting for the lesser of two evils and vote for the good, you know?
Obama's the guy. It's not the lesser of two evils for me. He is the president that I think should run the country again for the next 4 years.
And I believe that Obama, he helped me out in many ways.
Do you like Romney or do you like Obama?
I don't like either, personally, but I think my position is I'm tired of the lesser of two evils.
Well, I'm tired of the greater of two evils. I don't want to vote for Romney.
The United States of America sucks, and I hate the snakes.
Well, the reason why I think we should support President Obama, because he did a lot of things. You know, who was that he caught?
Bin Laden.
Bin Laden, yeah, he did a really good job, man. I give him 100% on that.
We love y'all, and this is America, and if we can get a few people that don't live here to go back home, we'll have a better world. Thank you for going Greyhound.
So I guess as our society implodes like Russia or North Korea or China, we can still, though, talk about it on our free government phone, which isn't free. They actually put taxes on power bills as well for the poor. But, hey, whatever. The poor don't know if Agenda 21 doubles their power bill as long as they get a free $20 a month phone. Now let's move to something that's foreshadowing a big report. He's going to be in studio here, David Knight. Federal court ruled last night in a lawsuit with secret toxic experiments they were doing on college students that, hey, the EPA is allowed to do Joseph Mengele-style, even lethal experiments on people, and the EPA is above the law. ATI filed a lawsuit. David Knight's worked with that group as a media fellow. And last night the news came in. Hadn't hit the news wires yet. This is breaking. That the judge said, no, they can pump in carbon monoxide and stuff on college students, not tell them that it could kill them. I mean, because the EPA is above the law. So an incredible Nuremberg overturned. That is coming up. But let me explain why this can happen. This was put into the code back in the 1960s. And we've got document cam shots of this, and also we've got some video shots of it. This is at thomas.loc.gov, Library of Congress. You can go look this up. You've heard me say Title 50, Chapter 32, Subsection 1528, Paragraph B. And I hadn't looked at this in many years, but Dew went and actually got it and, of course, found that I was accurate because I was covering this back when I still had a photographic memory. It's still damn good, but not photographic anymore. And you can look here in the code. I'll show people right here. It says, hey, you're not allowed to do secret experiments on people without their consent unless, and this is U.S. Title 50, Chapter 32, Subsection 1528, Paragraph B. And again, I've got the document cam right here. I know I'm an extremist. Someday it'll be a conspiracy theory that reading even existed as they dumb us down. They say that it's prohibited to do this for any agency unless the exemption subject to subsection C, D, and E. This section, the prohibition in subsection of this section does not apply to a test or experiment carried out for any of the following purposes. Any peaceful purpose, and they consider it peaceful to nerve gases, that is related to a medical, therapeutic, or pharmacological, agricultural, industrial, or research activity. So if it's research, period, they can do this. Again, document cam, guys, I want to show them this. I know you've got it on screen, but right here I've got it highlighted. And then right here, any purpose that is directly related to protection against toxic chemicals. So when they radiated 4,000-plus foster kids in radiation tests, they were claiming that was for, you know, tests to see about foreign attacks, or any law enforcement purposes, including any purpose related to riot control. And it says in here, lethal chemical, biological, and we'll put the closer up document on screen now, for any reason. So go read this. And when I plug this on air, people always go read the first part that's a prohibition on it. But then they'll never read down where it says, but there's waivers. And this is why lawyers rule the world, because we're too lazy to actually read the facts and get into what's going on. So here is the report by the ATI Council. The judge was uncomfortable with the EPA's claim that there is no situation in which a court could review their human experimentation on the basis that research is not a final agency action. So it says the agency can basically do whatever it wants. And that's the lawyer breaking that down that we've interviewed. And, again, he's coming up. ATI files suit to stop illegal EPA human experimentation. The suit's going forward, but coming up, they had a call for an injunction to stop taking college kids and saying, oh, you want extra credit? Go sit in this room. By the way, they don't tell you we pump carbon monoxide in on your ass. Okay, I mean, that's how you kill people. But don't go do this at home. It'll kill you. And they vomit and fall down and everything. It's all real funny. All that's going on. Because it makes these professors get on these power trips. They're all a bunch of eugenicists. I mean, it's just sickening. American Tradition Institute has called on Congress to investigate illegal EPA human experiments. And then we've got a copy here of the lawsuit. But this certainly needs attention. Let me give you the quote of the day, and then we're going to go to Max Cabrera on the collectivism and what's happening. TSA, you are supposed to be protecting us, but at this point you are terrorizing us. And that's Eli Mistal of Above the Law. They're not supposed to be protecting us. Total security is a prison. And you know you're not secure in a prison. And of course, who am I paraphrasing there? Dwight D. Eisenhower, another evil extremist who said, beware of the military-industrial complex. The new Army training manuals that Wired covered last week say, if you distrust government, you are a terrorist, marked for death. Which is most of the military. They're waking up. We're going to get into Chavez and what 14 years of socialism and communism does here in a moment. But first off, the new glossies are in. And we're selling what's left, not many, of the newsprint version that will be collectible. And it's great, high quality. Got a poster inside, much more. At below cost, just to get rid of those. When you sign up for a subscription, you get the first issue and the next 12 at InfoWarsShop.com. That's InfoWarsShop.com. And you can, again, get the glossy. Now, all productions henceforth will be glossy, and it is a supremely quality glossy, similar to the old Rolling Stone that was on the big broadsheet style. They've gone to a smaller style. In fact, I can show people this right here. Here it is. People will really wake up. This is a major message in a bottle right here, and each issue has a big poster in the middle, 48 pages of just absolutely key information. The technocracy, the elite's own statements, all of it in a glossy. We are now doing this at cost in bulk, or you can sign up for the subscription, InfoWarsShop.com. Now, that doesn't really financially support us, because my mission is to get the word out with these. These are basically like books you can buy for a dollar a piece or even less. When you really support us, you buy things like ProPure that's already massively discounted, 10% off with promo code WATER, but there is some profit there to fund our operation. The globalists, CFR, others have said they want to bankrupt things so there can't be any free market to resist them, because then they control the purse strings. We've got to vote them out with our dollars. It's the only vote we've got left, like we've done on GMO, like we've done with the Second Amendment and so many other issues. But buy ProPure at InfoWarsStore.com. Go to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. I want to thank those that are already donating. We'll broadcast 48 hours next Thursday and Friday. We usually start a month before and try to get donations coming in. We're starting a week before, basically, because we got so much other things going on. InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com to get the satellite uplinks and the file sharing systems with the big media systems worldwide. I want to subscribe to several of them. That costs a lot of money each month. Be able to flood the nightly news to everybody. You, the subscribers, are paying for the seed to plant this and generate it. But it literally is like Jack and the Beanstalk. I mean, everything you've done has just grown into something so huge. And we're killing giants here, ladies and gentlemen. So this is it. It's destiny. Buy your war bonds right now. InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. All right, that's it for now. And the news, let's turn to what's happening down south. But as you can see, it's not just in Europe or here in the United States that people have been domesticated. Most metrics show that in the last 14 years, things have gotten worse in Venezuela for even poor people. As companies are nationalized, as insiders in the socialist or really communist system, they're become incredibly wealthy. And joining us to break this down is Max Cabrera. He just got back this afternoon from Venezuela, just flew into the airport a few miles from our offices, and he went down there, even has the ink on his finger, to vote against Chavez. He's one of our head IT people and just does an amazing job, sometimes working 18 hours a day, not very Chavez-ish. I mean, what would Chavez do? And he's here with us to talk about, was it a staged election? Was it fair? Or did he get reelected because they've gotten more than half the public domesticated on the dole? Max Cabrera, great to have you here with us.
Hello, Alex. Thank you. And yes, Chavez won the elections in an efficient way. I mean, the election system over there in Venezuela should be an example for other places in the world. People go over there, they vote, and they get a print receipt of the people you're voting for, and then you put that receipt in a box. After the election time is over, people are welcome into the election centers to witness the counting of the votes. So they count the papers, and they compare it to the digital version. So they have to match. That way you can avoid having fraud. I was witness of that. I saw how they were counting the votes, the whole process. And I can say, yes, Chavez won in a democracy way. He got 55% of the voters to vote for him, and Enrique got 44% to support him. So that was like around 1.6 million of voters in difference, which I think is very sad. Why? Because Chavez got these votes thanks to dumbing down the people. People become dependent on him, on the government. Therefore, they are afraid of changing. They're getting money for without working. They're getting help. So they're used to that, and they just don't want to change, afraid of somebody might take away that from them.
But meanwhile, you've broken down the fact that, you know, living under Chavez for many years and what it was like before, things are markedly getting worse. We read about the power outages. We read about the crime exploding. I mean, how have things changed since Chavez got in?
When I used to live there, it was a great country. You could find a good job. It was safe. And now, after 14 years, it's very unsafe. He's nationalizing a lot of companies. When we saw the results in the House, my brother-in-law started crying because he has worked in two companies that has been nationalized. Therefore, he was losing, he lost his job in those companies. The electricity, yes, in my state, in my city, we produce 70% of the electricity for the country, 70%. And while I was there, in 4 days, we had about 4 power outages. Sometimes we got 2 a day, another day was fine, and then we got 2 more.
And by the way, you shot clandestine video while you voted.
Yeah, that's right. That's me dipping my finger in ink, and that's symbolic so people know that I did my right of voting.
This morning when I saw you, or this afternoon, you got here in the middle of the show, we had you on the radio briefly, I said, so was it fraud? And you said, no, unfortunately it wasn't. And I mean, so I'm not putting words in your mouth. Repeat what you told me off air. I mean, how painful it is to see your people domesticated.
It is painful to see that they are being used. They are being dumbed down. They are being tricked into depend on the government. And they don't realize that they should do their own way. I think it's okay for the government to provide help for those one in need. But socialism is not the way, because freedom is priceless, Alex. Nobody can provide something better for you than yourself. In the socialism, you are limited to what they give you, and you're limited to these barriers that they put in you, and whatever they give you, you have to take it. That's it.
Well, we know in every socialist experiment, over time, it degenerates, it makes dependent, slob-like people, and it destroys countries. I think it was Margaret Thatcher that said, you know, socialism's great, the only problem is you run out of other people's money. And government knows that when they cut taxes, it increases the revenue. They don't just want the revenue, they want the control. Talk about, I know without saying too much about your family, because Chavez does persecute people, you were telling me off air the new concern is more persecution now that he's in for six more years and emboldened, and what it's like at these companies. People get laid off, you were telling me, and I've read the news, because they kick them out and put their people in, even if they don't know what they're doing. It's like, well, you're not an engineer, but you're running it now.
That's right, that's right. And that's how it is. Even when I was in college, I was trying to get my internship in one of those companies, a government company. And I couldn't get into it because I signed against the president. And they told me that, listen, like, you are not with our revolution, therefore you can't get an internship here. And it's known that, yeah, you are going to be prosecuted if you are not in favor of Chavez. That happens to personal level and in the company level.
I see Viva Chavez on the back of that pickup truck.
Yes, he has a lot of people supporting him, a lot of people, 55% of
them. And they look just like the moron Obama supporters. Again, I'm not endorsing Romney, but the Obama supporters, whether they're black, white, it doesn't matter, they have this idiot smile on their face, they wear clothes with Obama on it, and they really think he cares about them when he works for mega banks that, you know, steal 30 to 1 for corporate welfare, banker bailouts. It's literally, Tarpley's broken this down, Dr. Tarpley, $30 go to the bankers for every dollar of chicken feed they give these people. But they don't care. They say, hey, I got an Obama phone. And you were telling me that there's a Chavez phone.
Maybe, you know, maybe Obama is talking to Chavez. If Chavez had started doing that years ago, he was giving away phones, cheap phones, and giving them away for free to the people to get them happy. He was offering so many things. He offered giving them houses. And he did give houses to the people, but without the title. Therefore, the government still owns those houses. They're just tricking to believe in, like, you can live there as long as Chavez is power.
Well, I mean, I saw that early on when he first got in 14 years ago. I was like, wow, he just took national parks and let people strike claims on it. At first, he did some stuff like, oh, getting rid of government land. Well, that's actually a free market thing, but then over time, he just gets worse and worse and worse. I mean, describe for people who haven't lived in Venezuela what the continuum has been like, how things have changed.
Okay, at the beginning, he was seen as a real leader, somebody that cares about the country. So he got a lot of supporters because of that. He was very poor, and then he wanted to help the people. But he never came out saying, we're going to apply socialism. He did say, we're going to distribute money to the people, the money that belongs to them, and help them out. So people started following him because they needed help. 80% of the population is poor, so they need some help. After that, he started taking over private properties like buildings, lands. He started with the lands, anti-lands. If you will own land.
Well, first it was government land. But then it was private land.
Yes, it was after the government land. He went after the private land. So if you will have acres and acres because your father gave them to you because he bought them years ago, and if you're not using them, then anybody will have the right to take it away from you. And there were several cases where people with huge lands that had their industries there, they were taken over by other people just because those areas weren't being used by the companies, and nobody supported them. The government.
And that's how it starts, because I followed it, but you lived it. So what I've read has been accurate then from what you're confirming. First, it's government land. Well, you're not using that. That makes sense. That's what you're supposed to do, is you have people come and stake claims to that. That's the American system. Frontier system. But then next it's, oh, your corporation doesn't need that land. And then next it's, no, we're going to take the factories. Because now, how many years has it been they've been taking over all the industry?
They have been taking the factories. They have been doing that for the last 12 years already.
Wow. And so within 2 years, they started doing on this.
Yes, exactly. At the beginning, everything was like he was just a good leader for the people. And suddenly he started just going down on the private sector. It's really hard because the private sector realized the plans that he had about limiting the amount of profits they could have, and he started just choking them. Like Chavez said, okay, let's limit the price of the meat. You can sell meat at this price, but your production cost is higher than that. So the companies wouldn't be able to stay there, and that some companies were able to manage that. That didn't work for Chavez. So then he decided just to take over those companies.
Because that was always the plan.
That was.
It's like healthcare. This is meant to bankrupt things so government fully takes it over.
Exactly. So basically the government wants to be the hero. They are saying, okay, these companies, they can't supply. We're going to take over these companies, and we're going to be now the responsible for your food.
Because that's how a government bureaucrat, not just the ruling elite, they're monopolists, that's how they build their own little bureaucratic empires is, well, I'm a bureaucrat. I'll have government take over your company or take over this park or take over this land or take over this scientific institution so they can be little petty rulers.
Even the Hilton from Margarita Island was taken from the Hilton family. Chavez decided just to take it, and he said, you know what, the Hilton on national television is ours now. Take it. And there are videos of Chavez walking down the streets and saying, I like this building, take it. That building, take it. Just like that.
And then you've got, quite frankly, the uneducated, ignorant people who've lived on dirt floors who are worse off 14 years later, but they don't care because they get a thrill off of him going, I take this, I take that.
Yeah, it's this resentment they have inside. If I don't have anything, you shouldn't have anything.
So it's kind of like everybody's going to suffer.
Yes.
Well, I've seen clips of it, and I've seen English subtitles. He has, a Sunday TV show where he just goes for hours. Tell us about that.
He can go for hours. The show is supposed to last a couple of hours only, but he can just go for 10 hours straight on national television, just talking about things of the that are happening in the country. And sometimes he just takes that as an advantage and starts laughing of people that he fires from companies, or when he takes over companies, he just laughs about it.
That's right. One time you described, I know you don't want to get into company names because of persecution, but he'd set it on TV and you watch the company people crying.
Yes.
And he's laughing on TV going, I know you're crying, ha, ha, ha.
Yes.
I mean, he's a demon.
Yes, and then he will say, hey, listen, you know, I took your company away and we will pay for that. And then he laughs. He's like, we will pay in papers. Someday you will get your money. And you see these people waiting for that money to come, and it's been years. So what it was, something that was providing for family and other people, it gets to an end, and it doesn't work anymore. I have friends that they work in a steel factory. One of the biggest in the world is called Sidor. And they tell me, Max, listen, we have been working in this company for over 25 years. This is our life. Our company was working fine. Chavez took over, and after a month, the company is not the same. It's not generating profit. It's now in the bankruptcy. They feel hurt because all their work just went to waste.
But see, that's the communist model with Lenin and Mao and others. They wreck everything by design because they want you poor so that you're so desperate you've got to get the handouts. As you said, there's an absolute method. And notice he admits now that he's the new Fidel Castro, and he was modeled after that. And he wears red, and he's a communist. At first, oh, I'm not a socialist. And that's what they always say. They always claim, we just want to help people. But they don't. They want to wreck things.
Yeah, under the helping slogan, you get a lot of people. Everybody wants to receive some help. So he was using that, especially because all the poor people there without education. He won in the low sector, in the poor sectors, he won. And of course,
so the more poor he makes, the more people vote for him.
That's right. More people are depending on him. And that's the secret. Make people depend on you. If they depend on you, they're going to be afraid of change. You're depending on somebody. You don't want to get somebody new in there because you don't know if that person is going to take care of you as well or as the other person is doing. It doesn't matter if the other person represents something better. They don't want change. They already know what they have, so they are okay with that. They are just settling in that low bar.
Sure. Well, I know Sean Penn. I've met him, spent time with him, talked to him on the phone a few times. And he worships Chavez. And it's been in a free system, not totally free, but freer, that he's had all this success. In communist systems, they control the art. It's all about dominating what you can produce and what you can do. And then Cindy Sheehan. We supported her being anti, you know, aggressive wars and have been nice to her. But over the years, you know, she's like, you know what? I don't think I'll come on your show. I'm going to put a, you know, something out about how great Chavez is. And she's not a bad person, It's just that she's so incredibly ignorant because she travels to there and Chavez pats her on the head. And I mean, what do you want to say to Cindy Sheehan, people like Sean Penn?
It's okay that they feel interest in the country. That's awesome. But they really should talk to people that live there, listen to their opinions. Not only the people that the government tells them to talk to, they just go and see what real life is. Stay in somebody's house for a week so they can see the power outages, so they can see there is no water, so they can see that it is unsafe to walk on the streets. They can, if they visit Venezuela, probably they are going to be escorted by militias from the National Guard. And they,
I think it's the ego. I think some of these people like the militarism and they like the VIP treatment of marching around with the president of a country. I mean, it's really sick, though. I mean, look. I've studied communism and socialism. It's a nightmare. It always produces crap. And the bureaucratic class loves it because they can compete in that system. They can come and take what I've done. And then you've got the ultra-rich usually funding communism as a way to consolidate power for themselves. And they want people dependent. The founder of the Rockefeller family said competition's a sin. John D. Rockefeller. And I sit there and watch MSNBC and others get billions of dollars in banker bailout and stimulus. Hundreds of thousands sometimes per reporter of my tax money. And then I watch all these globalist companies like Apple and others get free taxes, money, free buildings in cities everywhere where they have the worst factories in the world in China getting rich off communist generals that run slave factories. And I'm just so sick of their fake moral authority and their garbage. Does that mean I then endorse Republicans who are crony capitalist monopoly men pushing socialism as well? That's what's scary. I watched the debate with Obama and Romney debating how many goodies they were going to give us. And so they've gotten half the population on the government tit, and it's pretty much going to be game over soon, and it won't matter. And they're talking about shutting down alternative media. They'll just come shut us down, and then they can ruin America, and they win because they've got giant throngs of people under democracy. Because democracy, if 51% say kill the other 49, it happens. In democracy, if 51% say take over, you know, Max Cabrera's little, you know, dad's little company and give it to a bunch of lazy commies. So what if it all falls apart? That's just what we do. We get to still feel powerful and say we run a company. I mean, it's so disgusting, but I mean, that's the point just in closing I want to make on that and then get your take on it, is that they just wreck society over and over and over and over and over again. And they know what they're doing and it's funny to them and they want to get people dependent on them. But in a republic, doesn't matter if 99% say we want to kill everybody from Tennessee or we want to kill everybody from Venezuela or we want to make people slaves. What if 51% said, hey, we want to make black people slaves again? In a republic, you can't do that because they're protected. And that's the difference between a republic and a democracy. A democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner.
That's right. And in Venezuela, we have this socialism that is really providing the people free votes. But at the end of the day, it's really Chavez calling the shots. He's the one getting the power trips. He's the one chugging down the companies. And he's the one getting this power trip. He's the leader. He's the absolute leader in Venezuela. Everybody depends on him. Everybody looks at him. And he became, I was analyzing all the history when he was taken out of the power, and then he came back 3 days later. And everything sounds like a plan from the beginning. How to make him be like Jesus Christ.
And he had cancer, then he came back.
Yes, and that was the latest thing. He got cancer, he was going to die, nobody knew about him. He would go to Cuba to do treatments. He will disappear for weeks, and then he will order things through the Twitter. And then he came back. And now he's just fine. Well, he came back first without hair, looking really bad. And now if you look at him, he looks healthier than ever. I think everything has been a plan since the beginning to make him look like this great person, this great leader.
Well, I mean, it's the model. The globalists, they're exempt from all the laws they pass. They put communists, socialists, fascists, command and controllers in. Carol Quigley, the head of Georgetown Political Science, Bill Clinton's mentor, he wrote a 1,400-page book. We sell it at InfoWarsStore.com. where he just brags. We fund communists, we fund socialists, we fund fascists, we fund monopolies. Because we want to make you dependent. That's what it's all about. Because for the controlling class, they don't want to compete. They don't want to be in a free system.
Right.
And so Chavez, after 14 years, has wrecked the economy, nationalized. Doesn't matter if there's power outages every day. Doesn't matter if there's less food. Doesn't matter if stuff's collapsing. Because now everybody's fighting that much harder over the chicken feed. And all of it comes to him from Chavez.
That's right. So he doesn't have competitions, as we saw in these elections. Everybody is depending on him. Therefore, nobody can compete. I saw the opposition going to these poor neighborhoods, telling them how good things could get in another process. And they told them, okay, give us money and we will vote for Capriles. And they say, like, we don't have money to pay you to vote for somebody. We are here to show you the opportunity. And they will say, okay, then give me some clothes, something that I can wear. And I will vote for Capriles. And then again, we can provide you with that right now. We can help you. We are not here to buy your vote. We're here to show you an opportunity. And they will say, well, Chavez is giving us money, so we're voting for him.
Even though it devalues the money. And that's what the Federal Reserve is doing here now. Flooding everything with dollars, but only to the elite. And then a little bit of chicken feed trickles down. They call that good. Earlier, we had pieces here in Austin. We went downtown to the nice area, down on the pedestrian bridge, but we also went to East Austin. We found people in the trendy area, which is like wealthy yuppies, and in the poorest areas saying, well, hey, yeah, if the government gives me money, I'll take it. You don't ask when you get a lottery ticket. And they're like, but it was stolen from somebody else. They go, I don't care. I mean, it's really scary.
Hey, listen, in Venezuela, people can't buy dollars. They can't. It doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank. If you want to buy dollars, you can. If you're going to make a trip outside of Venezuela, like coming here to the U.S., my family, they come here, and they're only allowed to get a credit of $2,500 a year in a credit card. So if they make a trip, they only have that to spend a year.
And that's to control your movement.
They control the dollars. And then if you want to buy something online, you are limited to $400 a year. So basically you have $2,900 a year that you can spend no matter how much money you have in the bank. If you could afford $1 million, it doesn't matter. You're not approved for that. And that has created a big inflation in our country. Because now people that have stores that they import products from here or from the rest of the world, they have to pay in dollars. So what they do is they have to go and instead of paying 4 bolivares per dollar, they have to pay 12, 10, 11. Therefore, all the products that we're getting in Venezuela are extremely expensive.
So again, it's all about government insiders rigging things so they can consolidate control. I know in China, it's the top communist leaders and the generals that own the factories and are living like kings, emperors. Does that happen in Venezuela? I mean, how do the insiders profit?
Yeah, well, the vice president, the people that work with Chavez, they used to be poor as well, like Chavez. There are people that came from poor neighborhoods, and now they own private planes. They own casinos. They own clubs. They are millionaires now. These people, they are flying around the world. One of them is trying to move to Monaco. He's trying to get residency. He's trying to move to Monaco, and that's one of the richest countries in the world. For you to live there, you have to have a certain amount of money to get approved.
Yeah, I think it's like $50 million.
So how, if you were poor, when you go to work with the government, how can you be now trying to move to Monaco? I mean, how does that make sense?
Look, it's simple.
How does that make sense? What they said about socialism and distributing the money and that everybody should be the same. Yeah, of course, they have the control. They are living like kings. And the rest of the people, they have to fight for just what...
Instead of a free market, you've got to develop software or a book or an idea that sells, and that makes the whole culture richer because it's what is really good that wins. So you become successful and get status that humans look for by producing something. But in a communist or socialist or fascist system, it's all about being a thug and cunning. And before the Soviet Union collapsed, the entire communist leadership had giant villas. The intelligentsia of the countries would doll their daughters up and send them out as whores for the communists to have, hoping that their sons could get a job if their daughter was a good enough whore to the commie. The lives of others, it was a film about a true story in East Germany, where you had, where the actresses, you know, had to do all this stuff with the communists just to even be in a play, and how the writers, even if they were jealous of a writer, they would just put them in prison. Just, it was all just a bunch of pigs showing off to people, turning loose the worst of society. I mean, it is.
I guess it is fun for them. I guess for them it feels good to feel that power and just do whatever they want and take advantage of people. I guess it's a sickness. It's a disease that they have.
We're out of time. We've shown the amazing video you shot clandestinely and also some of it outside the voting places. In closing, what do you predict long-term for Venezuela and what's happening to it? And any other points you'd like to make?
I think we have two ways to go in Venezuela. The first one, we're going to be like Cuba. And the second one would be a revolution. And I think the young people can start this revolution, these students. People that have access to internet, that they can see what's going on in other countries and other opportunities, they will realize that there is another way. So it's just a matter of waiting and see what's going on. Right now, I feel like we're going to end up like Cuba. Like, that's the most likely thing to happen. But if people wake up, then they could create a revolution and get him out of the power. So people are telling me, well, we also count on cancer, and cancer will kill Chavez, and then Chavez is over. But I don't believe in that cancer story, so I really don't back that up.
Well, we need to, plus there's communists behind him. They're just going to step in when he dies. I mean, we've got to discredit that system and show people, do you like being a domesticated animal that relies on Chavez, and they have this reflected glory off of him? It's very, very frightening, and it's a new world order. There's nowhere to run from it. So we've got to take America back. We've got to take Venezuela back. We've got to take Europe back. We've got to take every country back from this. Max Cabrera, thank you for spending time with us.
Thank you.
Glad you got back from Venezuela.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we're going to go to break and come back with David Knight's interview he's going to be doing. He's going to come in here and do the interview here in just a moment. Looking at a federal court ruling, we're going to have breaking news here because he's actually worked with the group that's filed the suit. It's incredible. A federal court has ruled that I covered some of it earlier, that the EPA can do Joseph Mengele-style, even lethal experiments, and that they are above the law. So coming up, the EPA above the law, secret human experimentation gets exposed. The court says we have no jurisdiction over the EPA. Congress lets them do whatever they want. That is coming up, breaking key information with David Knight straight ahead. Enjoy it when the globalists try to poison us, and we resist them via a free market system. Hello, my fellow info warriors. Alex Jones here, introducing you to the ProPure family of gravity-fed filters. Now, you know that the globalists are filling our water with radioactive isotopes, fluoride, lead, mercury, arsenic. And one of the few systems that can efficiently and economically remove or reduce down to non-detectable levels these poisons are gravity-fed filters. And ProPure is the top of the line. Their filters are impregnated with silver, a natural antibiotic. On top of that, they're bigger, so they filter faster. You don't have to prime these the first time you use them. It's amazing. Go to InfoWars.com and click on the shopping cart link to see the entire family of these babies. Now, the fluoride they add to our water is so tiny that most filters can't cut it out. But ProPure has their system that will, again, reduce it to non-detectable levels, almost get all of it out of there. That's also available. And if you look at the different systems they offer, the ProPure Big Brush Finish is on a stand, so it's easier on a table or at your restaurant or wherever you have it to go up with a glass or a mug and fill it up. Then there's this big baby right here, the ProPure King Large Version. Got a lot of different options that come with it. Also, they have the ProPure Big, probably one of the best values out there. And, of course, it's burnished stainless steel. And then what I use on my my RV, something that's great for your hunting cabin or the back porch, is the ProPure Traveler. Small and portable, but packs a huge punch, cleans out all that garbage. They also have a glass sight spigot, so you don't have to take the top off and look in the bottom area to see how much water. You can see how fast it's filtering with this optional system. The globalists obviously are hitting us through our water. It's time to take control of our lives. It's time to not give our children and families these poisons. And these systems cut it down to non-detectable levels across the board. ProPure is the name. I only promote what I believe in. And I use ProPure in my home and my office. And I recommend that you check out the information on ProPure at InfoWars.com. We already have the lowest price at InfoWars.com on the ProPure gravity filter system. But when you add in the 10% off when InfoWarriors use the product code WATER at InfoWars.com, nobody can top it. So again, it's a win-win-win. Stop drinking the poison water. Checkmate the globalists when it comes to your health, and support InfoWars.com and the work we're doing here. You know, many revolutionaries rob banks and things and kidnap people for funds. We promote in the free market the products we use that are about preparedness. That's how we fund this revolution against the New World Order in our move to restore our constitutional republic and a spirit of 1776 worldwide. Check it out at InfoWars.com. ProPure, top of the line, number one, most powerful and effective and economical gravity-fed water system in the world. ProPure, available, discounted at InfoWars.com. Don't forget product code WATER to save 10%. It's the latest generation, years in development. ProPure is the name.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight. If you tuned in last night, you know that we talked about some human testing that the EPA is conducting. And we've got in the studio tonight Steve Malloy. He runs a website, junkscience.com. He is a biostatistician, and he's working with the ATI Environmental Law Center. Steve, we've got a new court decision. But before we get into that, we want to talk to you about just kind of briefly bring people who didn't hear this last night, kind of briefly tell them what the EPA is doing that you're trying to stop.
Okay. There's an air pollutant. It's called PM2.5. For the last 10 years or so, EPA has been telling the public about how deadly this pollutant is. EPA says there's no safe exposure to PM2.5. EPA says that any exposure can kill you, and any exposure can kill you within hours or days of you inhaling it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this sentiment has been, it's in EPA's 2004 scientific assessment of 2.5. It's in a 2009 scientific assessment. EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson has testified in Congress that PM2.5 doesn't make you sick, it just kills you. EPA Air Chief Gina McCarthy has written to Congress telling them that there's no safe level of exposure to PM2.5. EPA itself, in its documents filed as part of our lawsuit, has admitted that PM2.5 can kill you,
mm-hmm.
can kill people involved in these experiments. So I found out about a year ago that EPA has been conducting these human experiments with PM2.5, and so I filed several Freedom of Information Act requests. And it listed a bunch of data, and out of all that data, thousands of pages of documents, I discovered that not only is EPA testing this deadly PM2.5 on people, but they're lying to them about the effects. Keep in mind, EPA has said this stuff is deadly. It's so deadly it can kill you within hours of any exposure. Mm-hmm. when EPA experiments with these people, they get them to sign these consent forms. And the consent forms only say, well, the worst thing that can happen is in some particularly sensitive people, there may be some coughing or wheezing that'll go away in about 2 hours.
Right. And they were actually feeding diesel exhaust into the testing chamber, straight into these people, right?
Since 2004, all the experiments involve PM2.5. PM2.5 is a major component of diesel exhaust and really all auto exhaust. And so not only has EPA been, you know, piping what they can claim to be a deadly toxin to the lungs of people and then lying to them about it, the people they're pumping the diesel exhaust and PM2.5 into, they're elderly people as old as 75. They're people with metabolic syndrome. They're moderate asthmatics, in some cases combinations of those three. So these are health-impaired people. There's an ongoing study right now at EPA where they feel they have people who are genetically susceptible to pollution, the air pollution, that they are, you know, exposing them to PM2.5. So
they're selectively trying to get people who they think are going to have an adverse health reaction in this testing.
Yes. I mean, in essence, what EPA is doing, they really don't have any good science to back up their conclusions that PM2.5 is so dangerous. So they're actually trying to develop that in the laboratory after they've already started regulating PM2.5.
Hmm. Now, this court decision that came up yesterday, tell us a little bit about that. That was a temporary restraining order, right?
Well, we have filed a lawsuit to get all this stopped because this violates every rule, regulation, ethical standards set since World War II governing the protection of human subjects involved in scientific experiments. In addition to our lawsuit to get all this stopped, we filed a emergency motion for a temporary restraining order yesterday to get the ongoing trial stopped, because right now there is a trial where EPA is exposing people to PM2.5 and lying to them about it. Mm-hmm. So we went into court yesterday. And, you know, we really ran into procedural hurdles. We ran into, you know, the judge wanted to know what the subject matter jurisdiction, why should this court be listening to this case? Mm-hmm. So we went in, we presented our case, EPA presented theirs, and, you know, just to cut to the chase, the judge ruled for EPA saying that, well, it doesn't appear there's subject matter jurisdiction, but he let us, he dismissed our motion without prejudice, so we can refile, and he suggested that we refile. We need to go back and figure out exactly how his court has jurisdiction to hear this case. But, you know, the remarkable thing about this is that here's a federal court who hears that EPA is doing these terrible things, exposing people to this deadly substance, lying to them about it, and we're worried about, you know, the Marcus of Queensbury jurisdiction rules.
It's
kind of crazy.
Now, in the jurisdiction, was he saying that, I mean, this isn't something like you were in the wrong geographical area or something like that. I mean, when I got the, I got something here from David Schneer, and, who's your counsel, and he said that Judge Tringa, is that how you pronounce his name?
Tringa
was uncomfortable with EPA's claim that there is no situation in which a court could review their human experimentation on the basis that research is not a final agency action. So that was the basis on which you say he didn't have jurisdiction, right? Was that it wasn't, I mean, when it's not a final agency action, is he saying it's not final regulatory action? Is he saying that no court can oversee whatever EPA is doing on experimentation? Was that what he was saying?
Well, he was uncertain at least. And so we have to go back and do some more homework and figure out how that can be. You know, courts are listening to hearing people complain about regulations that have been issued, you know, final agency actions. Mm-hmm. This is not really a regulation, yet it's still agency action, and it's pretty final. You know, it's pretty final for you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when I saw this, it reminded me, you know, you talked about violating codes that go back to World War II. Right. And you've talked at great length on videos, other videos, about specific ways in which this has violated the Nuremberg Codes, which were enacted as a result of medical experimentations by the Nazis. And now we have, you know, the Nuremberg trials, they didn't just try medical doctors. They also tried judges who didn't stop things, right? I mean, the whole movie.
Yeah, they put judges on trial too.
Yeah, the whole movie, Judgment at Nuremberg, was about the judges going on trial. It wasn't about trying Joseph Mengele, the people who had done things. It was about actually trying the judge who had done this. And so now we've got an American judge. So now we have an American judge saying that even when these people have, even when the EPA has violated at least half of the Nuremberg Code, as well as other EPA rules, as well as medical ethical rules that are in place, that he shouldn't do anything about it.
Yeah, David, I've got to say I was astounded.
Yeah.
Because we laid out a good case of how what EPA is doing is, I don't care how you slice it, it's illegal. It's a crime. You can't lie to people about right. exposing them to what you have determined is essentially the most toxic substance on right. the planet.
Right.
Okay. And this judge is like, well, I don't know that I have jurisdiction to hear this case. You know, I mean, you talk about being a stickler for the rules.
I've got the declaration of Martin W. Case, who was involved in these studies. He was a clinical research studies coordinator for CAPTAIN, right. which is the name of the study.
Right.
And he says some pretty amazing stuff in here. He talks about his procedure with the subjects, the test subjects as they come in. And in item six, he says, he asks them, do you have any questions about what you have read and do you understand what you've read? Now, he's asking about what they read, and there's nothing in there in the written thing that says that there's anything dangerous about this. He tries
right.
to backpedal that later on in the document. But, you know, he's asking if they understand what they read. Well, what they've read is saying exactly the opposite of, he tries to backpedal and say further down the document that he warns them that this could be very serious, that it could have adverse health effects. But it says just the opposite of that in the written document.
Right.
Is that correct?
The written consent form, which is where EPA has to make every disclosure about the health risks, only says there may be some coughing and wheezing that'll go away in 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this guy Case, he says, well, I tell them orally that there's a possibility they may die from this.
Right.
First off, you know, that by itself should get this whole experiment canceled.
Right. And he tells them that orally after he asks them if they understand what they've read and have questions about what they read.
He only claims to tell them orally. And
right.
in any event, under the federal regulations, it's called the common rule, the consent must be in writing, especially where there is a risk of serious harm. And death is pretty serious,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, absolutely. There's another spot here, two items down in item number eight. He says, I will state in lay terms to them how they will be exposed to the particles for 2 hours and explain that this is similar and comparable to going about their everyday activities based on where they live. And yet he was exposing people up to 72 times what the EPA typically allows. I mean, they penalize cities if they have they have a level that they've set, and they penalize cities if they go above that level. And they were exposing people to 72 times that. That's not comparable.
Yeah, no, any fair reading of EPA's response would get EPA the electric chair in any fair hearing. I think maybe the judge didn't want to go there, and that's why he's, you know, hung his hat on jurisdiction. He's trying to avoid going there with the agency because these are very serious charges. You know, recently Senator Inhofe got involved in this, and he suggested that EPA has criminal liability.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest to you that Senator Inhofe is a very serious man and does not say things like that lightly.
Mm-hmm. And now he's requested for there to be hearings. What's your sense on that? I mean, what's the time frame for something like that to happen? You know, does it take an act of Congress to stop these people? And if so, how long does it take Congress to act?
Well, you know, we're coming to an interesting point here. I mean, we're getting to the end of this Congress. What the next Congress is going to look like, we don't really know yet. What the next administration is going to look like, we really don't know yet.
Right.
So this is a very interesting and uncertain time. Certainly this issue is going to carry over into 2013. How far the Obama administration goes into 2013 remains to be seen. How long Barbara Boxer is chairman of the Senate Environment Public Works Committee remains to be seen. But this issue will continue because this is very serious. EPA is continuing to act badly, refuses to change anything in its procedures,
mm-hmm.
even though they're clearly wrong. So, you know, we're going to see. The North Carolina Medical Board, some of these EPA physicians doing the research are licensed in North Carolina. The North Carolina Medical Board is looking at this. The University of North Carolina, which is involved in EPA research, has some serious liability, so they're looking into this. This is an issue that, you know, we lost yesterday on this jurisdictional technicality. But, you know, rest assured, this issue is not over.
Let me ask you about, you filed something with a district attorney in Chapel Hill, is that correct?
Right.
Because this is criminal activity. I mean, this is something that, you know, state jurisdiction should have. This is the EPA doing something, violating their own rules. But, I mean, this is criminal activity doing this kind of human experimentation with people.
Right. Interestingly enough, I mean, I have filed numerous complaints with lots of different organizations. For example, North Carolina Medical Board, the University of North Carolina, the Presidential Commission for the Study of Bioethics. And I've heard back from everybody. I also filed a complaint with the Orange County District Attorney. Orange County is where the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill is located. Mm-hmm. I have not heard back from him yet.
Really?
And, is it because he's a Democrat? Yeah. I don't
know. He's just not interested in human trials going on there.
Well, I mean, this is not a case where EPA and the University of North Carolina have violated some technical federal regulations. Mm-hmm. These regulations are among the most sacrosanct in science because they come from. You know, we're not comparing EPA to the Nazis, but these rules are so sacrosanct because they come from the experience with the Nazis. They come from the experience with the Tuskegee syphilis experiments. Right. And there have been other human testing horrors throughout history. So these rules come out of some very, you know, egregious conduct. They're not just technical rules where EPA has forgot to dot the I's, cross the T's, check the box.
That's right. And when the government doesn't exercise any accountability over its agents, you're not going to get, you know, you're not going to have any ethical things. You're going to have very dangerous government. We see this over and over again. And over and over again, we see even, I think, Jesse Ventura tried to sue over how he's being treated by the TSA. And again, the court says we have no jurisdiction. At some point, somebody has got to hold some of these actors accountable for what they're doing when they do criminal things and when they violate their own rules and regulations.
Right. And look, when I went to law school, the first thing we learned was the federal rules of procedure and really all modern rules of civil procedure are meant to facilitate the hearing of the merits of the case. They're not supposed to be used as these sort of arbitrary walls, you know, to prevent the hearing of a case on the merits. I was very disappointed. You know, the judge yesterday, he heard what we had to say about how dangerous this stuff is and how EPA is misleading people and lying to them. And then, you know, he's just stuck on this technicality.
Mm-hmm. you're going to come back and try to get you're going to try a different argument with the same judge to get a temporary restraining order. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know that we're going to go back for the temporary restraining order because just the way the legal case is, I mean, we have a permanent injunction going on. And so, you know, there may be a hearing on that sooner than we can get a hearing on another TRO. We're going to see. We're evaluating all the options right now. So, you know, I just advise people to stay tuned. I mean, it's not over.
And maybe you can clear this up since you're a lawyer. There's another separate lawsuit. Is that correct? Or another part of the, this is just a temporary restraining order, but there is an ongoing lawsuit that has been fired.
There is a more permanent injunction that we've asked for, and that hasn't been heard yet.
Right.
But, you know, it's similar issues are involved. So, you know, the jurisdictional issue hurdle we had yesterday, that's going to come up again.
Yes.
And so, you know, the issue here is you can tell me that, you know, there are these rules under which EPA has to act, but nobody can enforce them.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah, that's really crazy. Well, Steve, thank you so much for talking to us tonight. We're going to want to keep touch with you and find out how this goes, and maybe we can stop human experimentation here right in America. Well, that's it. I guess the EPA can do whatever they want as long as they call it an experiment. Thanks for tuning in tonight. That's the Nightly News. I'm David Knight.